And I want to take a look tonight at the pattern that develops through those choices. Things that change our lives forever. So the first thing that changes your life forever is pregnancy. You didn't know that Tracy was pregnant. But to start with, she wasn't pregnant, right? We had to decide together that she would become pregnant. It was, I think it was about 5 years before we got married. No, before we got married, we planned on having about 5 years before we would give birth to a child. Or start thinking about having children. And somehow when we got married, that went down to 2 years. Marriage, or something to you. But then, somehow, after we got married, it was only a year before we started trying to have kids. But the thing is that we made a decision to have children. And as we did that, I don't know how many of you know that we did conceive last year, but Tracy lost a child. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we should give up trying, should it? So you have to keep on making the effort. I also felt, you know, I learned a lot from that, that I was able to sympathize with people that have had that happen to them too. And also, it seemed like every month that went by after that, it seemed like it took forever. It seemed like years, but then I began to realize that there's years and years of years and I haven't been able to have them yet. So when I found out Tracy was pregnant, that was pretty awesome because we have to put in. And we just have time to be confused. And, you know, my heart goes out to those people who have been trying and they can't. But I just want to let those people know that God will bless you if you keep on showing the effort, whether it's in this life or the next, He will bless you for your humbleness and your effort. But anyway, so the baby is in Tracy's tummy right now, so that's cool. And that gives me this joy inside of my life that I can't really explain. But that baby, it still has to grow. And I have to understand that God could take that child from me at any time. And I have to be ready for that if that has to happen. Whether it's now or just after it's born or just 10 years after it's born, I have to be ready and still be able to trust God when that, or if that does happen. But for the meantime, it's growing there. And once it gives birth, Jesus said it very well in John 16:21. He said it, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." When that baby finally comes, you know, I can't understand what it's going to be like right now. I only experienced a little part of the joy. But when that happens, there's going to be so much joy that I won't be excited. So if you look at the pattern, when enemies, I was pushing the button too much. But the existing state is not being pregnant. Then we made a decision to act. And we went on to move and we didn't give up just because we think if things went wrong. And it seemed like it wouldn't happen. And then a new beginning came. And then followed by that, joy was our instant result. And the baby, you know, has to develop. And then as it develops, when it's done developing, then enters a new world. And the ultimate result is greater joy for us. There's something else that changes your life forever. Marriage. Would you agree with me? Okay, I got lots of hands. Okay, just one. How that works. You start out in the existing state of not being married, of being single. And so you find someone that you love, and that hopefully loves you back. And so the two of you make a decision that you want to get married. Usually the guy asks the girl. I've heard of cases when the girls ask the guy, and that's not very American. But the two from there, they have to put an effort to get married, don't they? They have to build their relationship together and learn to put God first in what they do. And when they exchange vows and they start that new beginning, you know, it's a pretty incredible feeling that you get when you're holding your wife's hands or your fiance's hands in years and you're staring at her and that joy that's in you. But once you exchange vows, the instant result that you get is joy. Would you agree? Okay. Okay, awesome. But marriage does not end there, does it? The two of you have to grow together because we know that when there is no growth, there is no life. Just like when you're having a baby, if there is no growth, there is no life. The two have to grow together. And when you live by God's plan and you put Him first and you understand what He wants from your marriage, to live holy and pure and in unity with each other and be nourished by each other, then you have the ultimate result in your life, which is joy throughout your life. But you have to have growth there. Something else that changes your life forever is the career that you choose. And maybe you're just trying to get a job just to provide for yourself. And maybe you want a career to provide for yourself and for a family. But you start out in the existing state of being unemployed. So you make a choice to get a job. You need to get a job. So that gets in your mind. And then you start working towards getting that job. You fill out applications. You turn in resumes if you need to. You get the necessary education you need to for that job that you're trying to get. And then hopefully, after you get interviewed a couple times, you'll get hired on. It might take a while, but you can't give up. You have to keep on trying. And the instant result, once you get that job, is you're happy. Because you got through a hard part just trying to get that job. But the job, your career, doesn't stop there, does it? Very sneaky. You can catch me. Someone's calling out. Okay, so you have happiness. So you got that set. And then you have to keep on progressing. You have to show that you want to keep your job. Because if you just give up, once you get there, because you finish gotten through the hard part, and then you're saying, okay. And you start slacking off, you're not going to be able to keep the job for very long. And you have to show that you want to keep the job. And then we all have a goal, a new world that we're waiting for, is to retire. And after we retire, we get a rest from all our work, all the work that we've done. And as Don said this morning, he said that the work that we're doing now, I mean, we need to make sure that we're making the most of every opportunity now so that when we are that old, I'm not saying that old people have to retire, I mean, I don't know. So you get a rest from your work. You see that you've done good. But that's the work of a Christian doesn't stop there, does it? As we have breath, as we have opportunity, even when we're on our deathbed and our arms are frailly and we can't speak anymore, we can still be using our hearts, can't we? We can be praying to God for those who we know are lost. We need to pray for our family and for our friends and for the church too. There are some decisions that God had to make too. The existing state for creation, before creation, there was no world. And God made the choice to act. He decided to design the earth. He made the land and the seas and the birds and the fish and all the beasts and the sun and the light and everything. I mean, it says in Genesis that God saw that and it was good. But then when God created man, You know what he said? Or what he saw? The instant result. But he said that it was very good. It wasn't just good anymore, it was very good. And you can look at that in Genesis 1:31 if you want to. But, and it was good, you know, for a while, until sin entered, until sin developed. And then a new world came, one where Satan became in charge, when he started taking control of people. And the ultimate result of God creating man was that God had to send His Son. And God sending His Son is a whole other choice that He had to make too. The world was left without Christ. And then He made a decision that He wanted to send Christ into the world. It's weird that He made man with His hands, and then He sends His Son to gather the people He made back into His hands. And so we move. He worked on it. He prophesied. He told the prophets like hundreds of years before the Christ came that Jesus was coming. He prepared the way for Him. And then when Jesus was born, a new beginning came, and not just for Him, but also for the whole world, because the world would never be the same after that. And God said in Matthew 3:17, as Jesus was baptized and came out of the water, He said, "This is my Son, and with Him I am well pleased." And Jesus, He developed too in His ministry. And He knew that that would lead to one point. He knew that all the work that He had to pour into came to a point, and that was His death. And death has to come before the new kingdom can come, the new world. And the ultimate result of God sending His Son to us is that we have a chance to have eternal life, to go and be with Him. Now the lost make a choice too. They start out in an existing state of being idle. And we got to be careful that we never go idle and stop acting in our faith. But they make a decision. They make a choice to act in the wrong direction. And even if they put in a little effort, they're still making an effort to do it. And it begins sin inside their lives. And either the sin results in pleasure or sorrow. And what I mean is, a non-Christian can, you know, they can have regret for sinning too, but they can also have pleasure for it. But here's a way that you can ask yourself if see if you are really seeking God with all your heart. And that is to ask yourself if you hate when you sin, if you are so upset with yourself because of how you failed God. And if you find yourself in that place, then you can start working the opposite way, back towards forgiveness. And sin, you know, as it develops in your life, it leads you on a decline. And the ultimate world that you end in is not a very good one. And the ultimate result is great sorrow. I mean, the lost have God all around them here, in creation and people around them. But when they go to hell, God's not going to be anywhere near them. They're going to be totally without Him. It's just kind of like us, as Christians, when we go to be with God, we'll be totally surrounded by God, and we only have a little bit of God right now. But the saved, they start out in the existing state too. We all did too. We all started out lost. And we all made the choice to act upon it. We saw all that God had done for us. And we decided that we need to make things right. And so we moved in that direction. We made the effort to do that. We studied the scriptures. We got to know what God wanted from us, what we needed to do to get salvation. And as we start a new beginning of being saved, the instant result in our lives is joy. But being a Christian, it doesn't stop there, does it? It's the same way that you lose your career if you don't grow. And it's the same way you lose your marriage if it doesn't grow. It's the same way that you lose your child if it doesn't grow. It's the same way that you will lose your soul if it doesn't grow. There has to be growth there. And you have to develop as a Christian. Because where there is no growth, there is no life. And there's a new world waiting for us too. And the ultimate result of that is being able to be with God forever and have everlasting joy. There's one more, a couple more things I want to talk about. Talking about the early church. They started out in the existing state. Once they were made, they were the existing church. And they knew, they had a knowledge of all that God had done for them, how He formed them with their hands and then sent His Son to die for them and to take all their sin upon Himself. And so the early church decided to act, and they worked hard. They were moving. You could see them alive and active. And they were spreading salvation. There were new beginnings in the lives of people who were lost. And the instant results, you know, there was joy in the lives of the Christians themselves and also in those people who they were bringing things to, who were receiving salvation. So this joy was spreading like fire. And the church grew too. Because, you know, if it hadn't grown, we wouldn't be here right now. And Paul and Jesus both mentioned the people who have died as fallen asleep. So everybody in the early church, you know, we know that they've fallen asleep. But it only indicates that they will wake up again on the day of the Lord. The last thing I want to talk about tonight is today's church. We are the existing church right now. What will we decide to act on? We have a knowledge of all that God has done for us, of what Jesus has done for us. But what are we going to do with that knowledge? Are we going to have movement in our church? Are we going to work hard to spread salvation, to create new beginnings in the lives of the lost? Because if we do, there will be overwhelming joy, both in our lives and in the lives of those people who we are saving. Not we are saving, but they got us saving. We're just helping show them the way. And the church has to grow. Because if we do not grow, what happens? We have no life. The same way that a child that doesn't grow in its mother's stomach is the same way that the church will die if it doesn't grow. I want to be one of the people. I want everybody to be part of the people who have fallen asleep, who will wake up one day and be with God. And I want to leave you with this tonight. I want you to grow. Many of us have already made big decisions in our lives. We've taken on careers, we've gotten married, we've had children, and we're going to have children, or we're going to get married. But as we make these choices, we need to put God first in them. And also, if we are already in these situations, we still have room to grow. When you realize all the joys that are around us, and really grasp them and be thankful for them. And, you know, I'm really waiting, and I can't wait for the day that I get to hold my child in my hands. I want to feel that joy, that the joy of having my own son in my hands, being enthralled by that. It reminds me of how God might act when the gates of heaven are opened, and all the children run into Him, and then He embraces them in their arms, and He cries over them, and finally, I get to have you with me now. The one who made them exist and who gave them true life, now I have to be with them forever. But I want you to remember this. Without growth, there is no life. Just like in miscarriage, we all die in the womb. So I want to challenge you all to grow. And the Spirit is there to help us with that.